and frustration of all the opportunities I had, but I ignored God. Remember I said earlier, when you ignore God, you schedule a tragedy. And the sorrow and the frustration to know that I blew God off. I made light of his invitation. So serious. The third thing is mental depravity. Animalistic, jungle-like, where humans become animals. They become depraved. They become reprobate. We're starting to see it already on the planet right now. You remember the movie Planet of the Apes? The apes are almost more human than the humans. But that's what we're beginning to see. We're beginning to see human beings degrade and become depraved to the point of basically just being animalistic, doing animalistic things. A lot of humans are doing stuff now that animals won't even do. Animals have enough sense and have enough of their instinct from God to not even do some of the detestable things that humans are doing. And hell is going to be a place full of animals. Man, hey, we got to hear the word. We got to hear the Lord Jesus. All in the same text, we see a man being binded hand and foot because he didn't meet the standard of the wedding feast. This is serious business. The fourth thing is social deprivation. A lonely place. It's like being in a room full of people, and it's like nobody's there but just you. It's no love. If you've ever felt lonely, that's what it. An eternity of loneliness. Man, this is real stuff right here. No love. The fifth thing is spiritual desolation. No worship, no prayer, because the church is not there. God is not there, so there is no need to pray. Why pray in hell? God is not there. Jesus just gave us he let us peer into what this is like. Weeping, gnashing of teeth, and outer darkness. Those are the words that gives us the knowledge of what he's referring to. You see this term, weeping and gnashing of teeth, it's mentioned about 7 times in the New Testament. And every time you see it, it's on the lips of Jesus Christ. So Jesus taught the doctrine of hell. It's very important that we know this truth so that we can apply ourselves accordingly. So he entrusted that to Christ. Look at verse 14, moving on. For many are called, but few are chosen. Many are called, but few are chosen. Many are invited to the wedding feast, but few are chosen. The thing about that few are chosen is very simple. You have to choose to be chosen. You have to choose to be chosen. It's that simple. It's not some special elect people that God has handpicked from birth. The doctrine of election or predestination is true, but it must be understood correctly. God doesn't predestine our decisions. He predestines the consequences to our decisions. God doesn't predestine our decisions. He predestines the consequences to our decisions. He has foreknowledge, meaning that if you ever see during Christmas, they had those little crystal balls that you shake up, and the snow falls, and it's a little city inside of it. That's what earth is like to God. The Bible says earth is his footstool. God is in heaven. Earth is his footstool. So we're inside of this thing called time and space. We live on this planet called earth, and God is outside of all of this. And he knows who's going to do what. He knows the choices you're going to make, when you're going to make them. He knows who's going to reject them. The Bible says he knows the beginning from the end. That's what foreknowledge is. So he knows that if you're going to reject him, he's already aware of it. But remember 2 Peter 3. He wishes that none would perish. So he knows who's going to reject him by foreknowledge. But he, in his heart, he's a God of love, and he desires everybody to be in fellowship with him. So what does that tell you about a human? A human, unlike an animal, has free will. We have the ability to choose. The tree of life in the Garden of Eden was the tree of opportunity. The tree of the knowledge of good and evil was pitted against the tree of life. That was Adam and Eve's opportunity to honor God, to obey his voice, to do what he said, to ignore everything else. It's like when you have a kid and you got a room full of toys and you tell them, don't touch that one toy. And they key in on the very thing you said, don't do. That's what this thing is like. You have to choose to be chosen. That's got to settle in the mind, because there's a lot of false teaching out there that says, when you were born, you were already damned to hell. A lot of Baptist doctrines teach that. It's called unconditional. No, that's not it. It's the TULIP doctrine. Total depravity. Man is totally depraved, unable to choose God. Unconditional security. You can't lose your salvation. So if you start with Jesus Christ, you're going to finish with Jesus Christ no matter what. And we're going to look at a scripture that's going to, one scripture is going to prove that, is going to disprove unconditional security, that you're unconditionally, no matter what you do, you're unconditionally secured by God. And the L is limited atonement. Jesus Christ, his death and his atonement on the cross for sin was only for a small amount of people. It was a limited group of people that he came to save. But that disagrees with 2 Peter 3. What does 2 Peter 3 say? He wishes that none would perish, but that all would come to repentance. None and all. Limited. You see how that don't add up? That doesn't add up. Irresistible grace. If God comes to you and he extends his hand to you, you can't resist him. Now, we know that that's not true. We know that millions of people are resisting the grace of God. We see a man right here in Matthew chapter 2 who was in the marriage supper, who was in the wedding feast, and resisted the grace. He fell from grace by being cast out. He was in the marriage. He was in the wedding feast. He was in the place that everybody wanted to be in terms of, you know, what was happening in that time. And he resisted the grace of God by not changing his clothes, man. And then the P is the P, predestination. I think it's predestination. Predestination, which is what I just referred to about the fact that some baby is down at the hospital now and they're already down because they weren't predestined and they haven't been chosen by God as far as predestination goes. God does not predestine our decisions. He predestines the consequences to our decisions. That's very, very important. Many are called, few are chosen. Will you be a chosen one? Man, that's the question I'm asking myself. That's the question that I mull over in my mind, but I have to choose it. Now, here we get to the crux of this message as far as RSVP goes. Look over at Revelation 19. Revelation 19. This parable that Jesus told in Matthew 22 is futuristic. Basically, you got two things happening. One of those things is Jesus came to the Jewish people. They blew him off. They ignored him. They instigated his crucifixion. They had John the Baptist beheaded because he was a forerunner for Jesus Christ. Basically saying, prepare the way for Christ. He's coming. Straighten the crooked paths. Make the crooked path straight to receive the Lord. And when the Lord Jesus Christ came on the scene, they made light of his appearance and they blew him off. They antagonized him. They questioned him. They tempted him and tried to trip him up. So Matthew 22 is describing two things. It's describing what actually happened in the Bible days. And it's a futuristic parable about what will happen in the future. And here we shift over to Revelation 19. And look at verse Revelation 19. Look at verse 7. Revelation 19, 7. Let us be glad and rejoice and give him glory. For the marriage of the Lamb has come, and his wife has made herself ready. And to her it was granted to be arrayed in fine linen, clean and bright. For the fine linen is the righteous acts of the saints. Then he said to me, write, blessed are those who are called to the marriage supper of the Lamb. And he said to me, these are the true sayings of God. And we here we see a vision and an image of heaven and what is happening in the future. Revelation tells us what's going to happen. It's amazing. A lot of guys go to jail and this is the first book they read. And they begin to see that, man, there's something ahead that I got to begin to get ready for. Revelation is allowing us to peer into the future. You got a lot of people trying to find out about the future through psychics and clairvoyance and fortune telling. And a lot of people are into astrology. That's the purpose. They're trying to find out what's going to happen tomorrow. That right there is a cursed thing. Astrology, divination, all of that is wrapped up in witchcraft. And you need to stay a million miles away from that. If you've ever attempted to read your horoscope or been to a psychic, that's something that's got to be dealt with in prayer before the Lord, because that brings a curse on your life. Because God forbids us to tap into some other inspiration to try and find out about the future. God is already telling us what the future holds here in Revelation. And he says in verse 7, the marriage of the Lamb has come. Now, we've been talking about this invitation, this RSVP to this marriage, to this wedding feast. And his wife is the church. The bride of Christ has made herself ready. And a bride spends her time in real life when a bride is getting ready. Man, she's locked up in that bridal chamber. She's doing her makeup. She's getting her hair right. She's going to come out stunning when they say, the bride is coming, and you see her walking down that aisle. That's the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. The bride has made herself ready. And look, she's been granted to be arrayed in fine linen, clean and bright, proper clothing. It doesn't say she's arrayed in some old dark, seductress lingerie or something crazy. A lot of this stuff you see, musicians like Madonna and Beyonce, and you see them perform at the Super Bowl, and they always have on an outfit that's reflective of some type of witch, some type of witch and some type of seductress. Look at what it says about the bride. Clean, fine linen, clean and bright. I like that. For the fine linen is the righteous acts of the saints. Blessed are those who are called to the marriage supper of the Lamb. I'm here today to tell you, you are called to the marriage supper of the Lamb. You, listening to me right now, are called to the marriage supper of the Lamb. But guess what? You must RSVP. You must reply. You must respond to the invitation. God desires you to be at the marriage supper of the Lamb. Man, he desires you to be in the wedding feast. And you may ask yourself, why am I on the invitation list? Why am I on the invitation list? We read it in 2 Peter 3. God wishes that none would perish. That word perish literally means to become useless to God. You ever heard somebody say useless goods? Something that once had value but no longer has value anymore. I always think of the example of someone that recycles cans. Man, you can make some money from recycling cans. It's not as much as it used to be. But if you've ever seen somebody with a pushing around a cart full of cans headed to the recycling place, they're about to have an exchange and get some money for those cans. Why? Somebody threw those cans away, threw them in the trash. And somebody knew the value of those cans, dug them out of the trash, and restored value back to something that was lost. That's what that word perish literally means. It's a ship lost at sea. and that ship being rescued and recovered. That's you and me. That's where we are. We must be rescued. We must be brought back. We must be rescued from perishing. And God desires that we won't perish. That's why you're on the list. That's why you're invited. And you may say, Rashid, man, don't you have to be perfect? Don't you have to go to church and read your Bible? Don't you have to do all of these things? Let me tell you something. The Bible says that every human being, with the exception of Jesus Christ, was born in sin and shaped in iniquity. Dead on arrival. Born dead. Born in sin. You were born a rebel. You don't have to teach kids to say no. You don't have to teach kids to say it's not fair. They learn it all by themselves because of the very nature that lives in them. The Bible says in Genesis chapter 3 that Eve is the mother of all living. Why the race war when we all came from the same two people? Why the blacks and the whites fight? Why the Hispanics and the blacks? Why all of these racial divisions? We all came from Adam and Eve. We're all sinners from birth. We were all shaped in the iniquity and the rebellion from birth. You see, Cain killed his brother Abel. And then he said, am I my brother's keeper? And we see that same mindset perpetuated through the ages. The flood of Noah was the reason why God flooded the earth, because it became so wicked. It became full of depraved human beings who only thought about evil every day. And the Bible says when he saw Noah, he saw a righteous man. He saw a man that he could restore. And he preserved the human race. He preserved the human race through Noah and his family. Man, this is something we gotta really slow down and get this down. Nobody, they came to Jesus and says, Jesus said, why do you call me good? There's none good but God. And he was God in the flesh. But he didn't allow them to exalt him in that particular case. He gave the glory to God. As the God-man, as the Son of God, as the Son of Man, he pointed towards heaven so as not to keep the people focused on the here and now. We were all born in sin, man. We were all shaped in that same iniquity. But God wishes that none would perish, but that all would come to repentance and everlasting life. Man, you know your track record. You know what you did. I know what I did. I know my past. You know your past. The lying, the cheating, the stealing, the dishonesty, the fornication, the sins. The Bible gives a list of sins that will send you into outer darkness. Idolatry, the worship of an idol, greed, covetousness, uncleanness, homosexuality. The Bible lists the sins, stealing, killing. And we've had our hand, even if it was small. A lot of people say, well, my sins are not big sins. They call them, or they say white lies. But to God, they're all big black lies. There are no small white lies to God. They're all big black lies. Sin has stained the human race. And God is working by his power through this word right here, through this Bible. God is working to rescue the perishing, to rescue those that have been lost. That's you and me. The scripture says, any man that says he has no sin is a liar. So you see how you're still damned. If you say you haven't sinned, you're lying. Liars are thrown into the lake of fire. Man, it's time for me to plead my guilt. I'm pleading my guilt now while Jesus Christ is still Savior before I have to meet him as judge. You are invited to the marriage feast, but you must RSVP. Here's a question. What are three things you need to wash clothes? Obviously, you need clothes. And then the other two ingredients are simple: soap and water. God has provided the tools to wash us, to give us the linen. We need that right linen. This is about the garment. This is about the fact that that man came to the marriage feast without the proper attire on. Soap and water. The Holy Spirit is the soap, the cleansing agent of God, sent from heaven to cleanse and deal with the sins and wash the sins away from the people. The water is this book I got in my hand right now. The Bible says he cleanses us by the washing of the water by the word. This word will wash you. This word will clean you. And the clothes are the fellowship of the saints. It's important to be in fellowship with like-minded believers because y'all rub up on each other. The Bible says iron sharpens iron. There's encouragement. There's motivation. You see where you may be too proud, or you see where you falling short because of how you deal with a brother or sister in fellowship. You need soap, you need water, and you need clothes. And you need a washing machine. But you get my point. God has provided all the tools to prepare you to have the right garments on so you can be prepared for the marriage supper of the Lamb. That's what this is all about. It's about the fact that in heaven, there's a marriage feast that God has prepared for his son, and the church of Jesus Christ, not the building on the corner, the universal church, the body of believers, the church is made up of living stones. It's a spiritual house made up of living stones. So when people say, I went to church, that's incorrect. By definition, the church is the ecclesia, or the ecclesia in Greek, which means the called out ones, those who have been called out of darkness into his marvelous light. Those who have received the invitation and RSVP. That's the church of God. That's the people that will go to that marriage supper and be prepared when they get there. They won't show up with the wrong garments. They won't show up late. They are a bride that has made herself ready. This is all about the garments, man. What kind of garments clothe your mind? What kind of garments clothe you? Look real quick at Colossians chapter 5. Colossians 5. We gotta have the right attire. This is all about meeting the standard and the protocol of God. Every environment, there's a standard and a protocol for remaining in it. I don't care where you go. Heaven is no different. The reality of hell was described by Jesus. The reality of heaven. You got a lot of people out there talking about heaven is a fairy tale place for Christians to escape, so on and so forth. You don't want to play with this. You don't want to play with God when it comes to the truth of what he has spoken in his word. I pity the people who have taken a false belief going against the very words of Jesus Christ. Man, the Bible is a historical book. They got manuscripts and all types of things that validate the word of God. But what we're moving into is not just the Bible being a historical book. We're moving into a demonstration of the Bible where the Christian is able to demonstrate what they believe. They'll be able to do what the Bible says in James. You show me your faith, I'll show you my faith by what I do. James says, show me your faith. Show me your faith by what you do. That's real faith. Faith is proving by deeds. And God is about to manifest his presence to prove, not to prove that he's God, but to draw those last people that he's calling out into the marriage feast. Look at Colossians 3. Colossians 3, verse 5. Therefore, put to death your members which are on the earth, fornication, Here's a list of sins that'll get you thrown into outer darkness. Fornication, uncleanness, passions, evil desire, and covetousness, which is idolatry. Because of these things, the wrath of God is coming upon the sons of disobedience, in which you yourselves once walked. He's talking to the church at Colossae right now. They used to live like this, in which you yourselves once walked when you lived in them. But now you yourselves are to put off all these: anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy language out of your mouth. As a Christian, as a professing believer, why are you still cussing? The Bible says, hey, figs and a different type of fruit don't grow on the same tree. Clean water and dirty water don't come out of the same spring. Only blessings should be proceeding out of the mouth of God, out of the mouth of a Christian, unless you're cursing the devil. Stop that cussing. Filthy language out of your mouth. Do not lie to one another, since you have put off the old man with his deeds. See, that's the issue. We're putting off the filthy garments. We're putting off the old man and have put on the new man, verse 10, who is renewed in knowledge according to the image who created him. According to the image of him who created him, where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcised nor uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave nor free, but Christ is all in all. Christ is all and in all. So all these separations and divisions don't exist. There are no distinctions. You're either in Christ and walking with him, or you're not in Christ, rebelling against him. Jesus said this himself. You're either gathering with me or scattering against me. Gathering or scattering. So he says, putting off that old man and putting on the new man, which is renewed after the image of him who created him, after the image of God that created us. What are we getting back? The image of God. That's the salvation mission. That's the restoration. That's the recycling. The image of God is being restored to us. In Ephesians 4, you don't have to turn there. The scripture says, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man, which was created according to God in true righteousness and holiness. This thing is about clean garments that believers wear to be fit for the kingdom of God. It's about holiness. It's about holiness. The Bible says, holiness without which no man will see the Lord. This thing is about a holy life. That's the issue that man had who came to that wedding feast without the proper garments. He accepted the RSVP, he accepted the invitation, but he refused to change. He refused to change his filthy garments. That's as simple as it is. The Bible says, God is holy, therefore you be holy. We're called into holiness. We're called to put on the cleanness. We're called to put on the righteousness of God. We're called to put on the robe of righteousness at the expense of our old dirty garments of sin. Man, this is an opportunity of a lifetime that God is calling us into. It's about to be 2016. Man, I'm trying to get my garments right. I'm trying to get my garments right. That's my focus. It's to learn what it means to walk in the holiness of God. Look at Isaiah 61 as we prepare to wrap this up. Isaiah 61. It's all about your garments. What kind of robe, what kind of garment do you have on? Isaiah 61. Look at verse 1. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me to preach good tidings to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to those who are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn, to console those who mourn in Zion, to give them beauty for ashes. Man, this used to be one of my favorite scriptures. to give them beauty for ashes. That's the exchange that God is looking to do for you. The oil of joy for mourning, the garments of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they may be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he may be glorified. Look at verse 10. Jump to verse 10. I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My soul shall be joyful in my God, for he has clothed me. He has clothed me with the garments of salvation. He has covered me with the robe of righteousness, as a bridegroom decks himself with ornaments, and as a bride adorns herself with her jewels. It's all about a bride and a bridegroom. It's all about the garments. It's all about the robe that we wear, that we are putting on to be able to be accepted and meet the standard for that marriage supper that we read in Revelation 19. Man, come. I'm calling everybody to come into this wedding supper. I want you to be there, but you have to do what's necessary. You got to do what's necessary. You got to change clothes. You got to put on the holiness of God and put off the filth of the flesh. And this is the last scripture that we'll read in Revelation 3. Revelation 3, and we'll wrap this up. Look at Revelation 3, and I'll read a few verses here. Look at verse 3. Revelation 3:3. Remember therefore how you have received and heard, hold fast and repent. Therefore, if you will not watch, I will come upon you as a thief, and you will not know what hour I will come upon you. You have a few names, even in Sardis, who have not defiled their garments. See that word? You see? The Bible gives us the answer. The garments are not defiled. He's referring to the church in Sardis. And he says, and they shall walk with me in what? What color? Not black, not red. They shall walk with me in white. When Jesus was transfigured on the Mount of Transfiguration in the Gospels, it said he had on shiny, his clothes, he transitioned, what he had on transitioned to being a shiny white, glowy robe. This thing is about getting clean, getting right. They shall walk with me in white, for they are worthy. For they are worthy. They are worthy to walk with me. They confess their sins, that I might forgive them of their sins and cleanse them from all unrighteousness. They repented and changed and turned from their wicked ways unto the living God. Look at verse 5. He who overcomes shall be clothed in white garments, and I will not blot his name from the book of life, but I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels. So you mean to tell me your name could be in the book of life and be blotted out because of what you do in the here and now? The Bible says we'll be judged for what we did in our mortal bodies. But this church, these people were worthy. White garments, not defiled. He says, I will not blot his name out from the book of life, but I will confess his name before my Father and his angels. Man, I want to have my name confessed before the Father and his angels. Don't you? Don't you want God to speak well of you? That's why Job went through everything he went through. God spoke well of him. He spoke well of him. I want God to be saying good things about me in heaven because I'm humbling myself down. I'm submitting myself to God. I'm dealing with everything in my life that's not like God. This thing is real right here. Look at verse 18 in Revelation chapter 3. I counsel you to buy from me gold refined in the fire, that you may be rich, and white garments, that you may be clothed, that the shame of your nakedness may not be revealed, and anoint your eyes with eye salve, that you may see. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Therefore, be zealous and repent. Therefore, be zealous, be full of passion, and repent. That's my word in closing to you tonight. You say, Rashid, I got the invitation. I want to RSVP, man. My instruction to you tonight is repent. The prodigal son, when he sinned against his father and he wanted to come back home, you know what he said? He says, not only did I sin against my father, but I sinned against heaven. A lot of people fall into sin, but where they miss it is they are remorseful and they regret the decision that they made because of how it affects them. What about how you offended God? What about all the blessings and the good things that God attempted to do in your life and how you blew it and how you offended him and how you spit in his face? That's what the prodigal son realized when he turned back home. He didn't just sin against his father. He sinned against heaven. That's true repentance, that you realize you've offended God by the way that you lived, by how you took what God made and used it for your own pleasure. God wants his body back. Romans 12 says, present to me your body, a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. It ain't even a big deal. God wants you. He don't want your tithe. He don't want part of you. He don't want the wheels on the car. He wants the whole car. That's the only way you'll have the proper garments to be able to enter into the marriage supper of the Lamb. So you accept the invitation and you begin to prepare yourself. Repentance is the leading step in. You must repent. John the Baptist in the Gospels and Matthew, Mark, when he came on the scene, he said, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Jesus' first words, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. When Peter stood up on the day of Pentecost and he preached the message to the people in Acts chapter 2, the people said, men and brethren, what shall we do about what you've said? The first word out of his mouth was repent. Change the way you've been living. Change the way you think. Change the way you think. That's what the word, it literally means, to change the way you think. To change the way you think about getting into heaven without having the proper attire on. To change the way you think about living the way you want to live without giving God what's required. To change the way you think and obeying the word of God and walking in holiness, applying yourself to instruction, being about the Father's business, staying on your face day and night before the Lord so he can instruct your life. Repentance is for the Christian and the non-Christian alike. Repentance is a change of mind, and when your mind changes, your actions will follow. It's impossible to say, I believe in God without following after God, to walk after God. If you believe God, you're going to obey him. I've heard people tell me that countless of times. I believe God. If you believe him, you'll obey him. Repent. Be zealous and repent, that you might be clothed with the robe of righteousness. It's not my righteousness that I have. It's not your righteousness. It's the righteousness of Christ that God is willing to give to you and me because of our submission to authority, to proper authority, to proper government, to be prepared for what's ahead. Peter told them, the people in Acts chapter 2, he said, repent, be baptized in the name of Jesus for the remission of your sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Repent tonight. It's not necessarily just a prayer that you pray. It's about you looking at your life and saying, Lord, what is it in my life that you don't like? What is it in my life that's defiling me? You begin to search yourself. You begin to examine yourself to see if you are really in the faith, for real. Pray this prayer. Lord Jesus, what is it in my life that you don't like? What is it in my life that you don't like? And allow God to put his finger on those things and turn from it, whatever it is, no matter what it is. Sometimes you got to repent of things that seemingly are good. People say, oh, well, I give to charity. Well, you give to charity so you can be seen. You know how many people do that? They give and they do things so that they can be seen and they can get praise from man. That's not what this is about. Sometimes you got to repent of your good deeds and your bad deeds. It's time to come clean. It's time to get ready by accepting the RSVP to the Marriage Supper of the Lamb and getting ourselves right with the Lord. This ministry is designed to help you do just that. When you receive that RSVP and you respond appropriately and you're willing to do what's necessary to be prepared to stand before the Lord Jesus Christ, you're on your way. Then you move into the very acts of discipleship. That's what this is all about. Going through the process of having your garments clean. That's what this thing is about. We're about to cross over into 2016. And it's for real this time around. The false church is going to be exposed. God is going to begin to manifest himself within those that are real. He's going to begin to separate the white and the black, the sheep and the goats. He's already doing it. He's already doing it. Will you have the proper attire to make it in? Or will you be cast in the outer darkness where there's weeping and gnashing of teeth? The choice is yours. You have to choose to be chosen. I invite you to the marriage supper of the Lamb, but you must RSVP. In the name of Jesus, God, we thank you for the truth that comes to make us free, God. Your truth, your word, your spirit comes to deliver us, comes to set us free, God. We've been captive to our own lusts, our own desires, our own pleasure, our own thoughts that are carnal. And you come to break us out of this prison. God, I pray for those listening that are not saved, that's been playing church, those that are saved but been sitting around and been stagnant. I pray in Jesus' name you send your word to stir them up, God. Send your word to grant repentance, Lord God. In the name of Jesus, God, have mercy on our souls, Father God, that we might be acceptable in your sight, Lord. We want to meet the standard. We want to meet the protocol to enter into heaven, Lord. Lord, I read those news articles. This place is it's a dying place. It's a desolate place. All these new gun laws and all of this stuff happening around us is reflective of the fact that we are in the last of the last days. It's time for the bride to make herself ready. God, give us clean garments. Cleanse our minds, cleanse our hearts. I pray for those that are repenting, God, and those that are turning from their sins to you, Lord God, that you would meet them right where they are, Lord God, and begin to minister to them, Lord. Let it be real. Let it come from the heart because you're drawing them, God. In Jesus' name, we bind the hand of Satan that comes to stop people from coming to Jesus Christ, that's coming to make people unworthy. We curse the force of darkness that's set against every child of God and every soon-to-be child of God. In Jesus' name, we will be clothed in the robe of righteousness. We will have those white linens when we step before you, Lord, because we've done what's necessary in the here and now. Life is all about preparing now for then. We're behind the curtain getting ready to meet our Maker. God, give us the grace. Let this word be sown into the heart, Father God, and let it produce fruit 100-fold. In Jesus' name, we thank you and we bless you tonight. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. If you prayed that prayer of repentance and you really are turning your life over to the Lord, reach out to the ministry, omegaministry.org. Reach out to, I got a personal email, a ministry email, vesselsoftruth@gmail.org. Vesselsoftruth@gmail.org. It's all about preparation for departure. It's all about preparation for the marriage supper of the Lamb. I've accepted my RSVP, and I'm getting myself ready, man. Soldiers of Light Conference coming up in May. We want to see you there.